T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we're back. Jason and John on Eastern FM, ESPN. And as promised, he is Radio.com Sports Insider Ross Tucker. Insider Calls brought to you by Pennzoil. Motor oil is made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil. He joins us now. Ross, how you doing, man? Appreciate the time.
You know what? I'm doing pretty good. I appreciate you guys asking. That song, man, that takes me back to, like, I feel like the 80s. So yeah. Wasn't that song from, like, late 80s, hanging out by the pool? Like eight All years day. Old, 9 years old. I love old school songs like that.
That is what
never
we do
go wrong
on this
with
show.
Phil Collins.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're feeling good too, Ross, because it feels like slowly but surely it's been a slow drip, but sports are coming back, you know. And tonight, obviously, the NBA is officially back. Regular season games are happening again, but the momentum in the NFL has been, you know, pretty weighted toward returning, and the NFLPA and the NFL got their stuff together a lot quicker than baseball did. They agreed on the financials, they agreed on the health protocols, and training camps are starting on time. Just where are you, you know, generally on your outlook of the NFL and its ability to pull off a regular season right now?
Probably more optimistic than a lot of the other people, I guess, that seem to be out there. It feels like after the Florida Marlins had that outbreak that everybody was just kind of like, oh, man, their baseball's done. NFL doesn't have a bubble. They're done. And, look, we'll see. I don't think anybody really knows, right? But, I mean, they're getting tested every day for the first couple weeks. So I don't see how there could possibly be an outbreak if you're getting tested every day for the first couple weeks. And then once the season starts, I think during training camp, they'll actually be fine because they're at the facility and they're working so much. I think the most interesting thing will be right around when the season starts and a lot of these guys, their kids are back in school. Then I wonder if a guy contracts the virus and then somehow spreads it to the team before he gets a positive test back. It's really going to come down a lot to what these guys do off the field. I feel like, from what I've read and seen, I mean, the stuff they're doing in the facilities, I just don't see guys getting it or spreading it when they're actually in the facilities. If it happens, I feel like it'll happen at home.
Right. I mean, and in the case of the Miami Marlins, which I think they're up to 19 total positive tests, the reports are that they went out. They went out, you know, to the bar, to the club. And in the end, I mean, it's going to come down to those decisions, you know, that determine whether or not, you know, the sports can happen. I do think you brought up a good point, though, Ross. I saw you on Twitter. Kyle Brandt had a controversial tweet where he said, you know, there are people in football who, you know, media, for example, who are rooting, you know, against football and rooting for the virus. And I don't subscribe to that. I actually think it's more exactly what you said. I think the way that you sort of approach life in 2020 is not necessarily about whether you're rooting for or against. It's just your general disposition. Are you an optimistic person or are you a pessimistic person? I think that's really what it boils down to, is if you're an optimistic person, you're going to look for the good, and if you're not, you're going to look for the bad. I mean, I agree with you completely on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think anybody's rooting for the virus, right? What I do think, I think there are people in life that skew to the negative, skew to the pessimistic, and that's just how they are. I also think there's something there where there's some people that weirdly want to see the NFL humbled. They want to see the NFL come down. They want to say that they were right. You know, I think they want to say, I told you there's no way they could have NFL season. See, I told you. What I don't understand about that is, like, what do you get for that? Like, what do you win for that? I don't get it. You know, there's a lot more publicity and attention about the Marlins outbreak than all of the positive testing numbers in the NBA and the NHL and MLS. And maybe that's just society at large, that we focus on the negative and, you know, bad news is what sells or whatever people think. I think it's a really crappy way to live your life. I almost feel bad for those people. I don't know if it's going to work. Nobody knows if it's going to work. I know that they put a lot of time into it, and I'm hopeful, and we'll see. I mean, we'll just have to see how it plays out. But I don't really understand the people that it just seems like they revel in the negative news. Like, when there's negative news to report, they are like, "See, told you so." It's just, I don't get it.
Nah, that told you so crowd too seems to want to get bigger and bigger and louder and louder. I'm with you. I'm not sure what you get out of that. Are you surprised, Ross, or not surprised at all by the number of players opting out? Saw where KC running back Damian Williams, who was awesome in the Super Bowl, among the latest to opt out. The Patriots with six, I think, at last count, including Hightower and Chung. Are you surprised by the number? Do you think it grows? What do you think about all the players opting out?
Yeah, so it's definitely more than I thought it would be, for sure. And I think a couple things. I mean, right now, there's still no deadline to opt out because they haven't signed the final language on the CBA, which is unacceptable, by the way, that these guys are making decisions whether to opt out or not. They don't really know what that means for sure. So the number could go a lot higher. Although, if you're going to opt out, are you really, like, flying to your NFL city and taking a COVID test just to say, yeah, you know, I'm going to opt out and flying out of there? I mean, if you're concerned about getting the virus, it doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me to fly to your NFL city. So I guess I don't think there will be that many more that opt out, but I guess we'll see. It still has been more than I thought there would be. You know, I looked at it like there wouldn't be very many because, number one, unlike the NBA, guys don't have to go to a bubble, right? So you don't have to miss the birth of your child. You don't have to be away from your family. Like, you can see him every night. So I didn't think that would be a reason for guys to opt out, although it seems like, because that's the case, some guys have opted out. Although, really, they could live somewhere else or whatever. But, you know, for me, I look at it, so I played 7 years. I was ages 22 to 28 when I played. And I would absolutely be concerned about coronavirus. I would absolutely not want to get it. You know, they don't really know all the implications. But for me, you know, you're talking to a guy that had a back surgery in Buffalo at multiple levels, L4, L5, L5S1, discectomy, laminotomy, foraminotomy. My career ended with a herniated disc in my neck then, C5, C6, that bruised my spinal cord. You know, everything that's come out with CTE since I retired in 2008. I just feel like those things would be higher on my list of concerns and risk that I'm worried about than COVID would be for a guy age 22 to 28. The other thing is, you know, my 7 years, guys, I made the minimum all but 2 years. And so, you know, every year I knew it could be my last year. And every year I knew that that money was going to go a long way towards giving my family a great financial head start in life. You know, even if you're making the minimum, by the time you get the 401k and the annuity and the severance and the pension, I mean, you're talking about, like,
pretty nice.
Close to $1 million. So to me, like, coronavirus would have been on my list of risks, but to be honest with you, it wouldn't be in the top three. And the financial risk of missing out on a season, which could be my last season, I looked at every year like it could be my last year, that would have been too much for me. I would have played.
Yeah. You know, with the Chiefs, it feels like they're going to be fine. I mean, they took Clyde Edwards-Helaire from LSU with a first-round pick. And so without Damian, you figure they can just plug that in. That's sort of what they do anyway. And Lord knows Edwards-Helaire's a talent. But what about the Patriots, though, Ross? Do you think that six, you know, Hightower's a guy that played everywhere. Does that concern you? Do those six in particular, does it change their fortunes this year? Does Belichick just find young guys to plug in and they're fine? What do you think about that situation?
No, I mean, I mentioned this yesterday on the Even Money podcast. It's a sports betting podcast I have. I already liked the under for the Patriots, 9.5. It's down to 9 now, but I like the under even more now. You know, Marcus Cannon's a different deal because he's a cancer survivor, but they don't really have another tackle to replace him. And then for guys like Brandon Bolden and Chung and Hightower, you know, I was thinking about, it's interesting, guys, their whole career, when they've gone to training camp, it's been, all right, it's time to go win the Super Bowl. We're going to go win the Super Bowl this year. And I don't care what those guys say. Deep down, they know they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. I mean, they know it's very much up in the air. Yeah. But it's got to be tough. I mean, you're 30. You made a bunch of dough. You've won 3 Super Bowls. Now you've got some concern about a virus. And, oh, by the way, you're not winning it this year. You're really just playing for the money and for pride or whatever. You're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. I don't think it's a coincidence that 6 Patriots have opted out.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to Ross Tucker, radio.com, sports, NFL, insider calls, always brought to you by Pennzoil. The proof is in the Pennzoil. We also saw yesterday in college football, Ross, Virginia Tech CB, who is considered by some to be the best defensive back in college football, Caleb Farley, he opted out, and he is going to prepare for the NFL draft. Is that a special case because – as the number one CB, you know, in college football, there was really nothing he had left to prove? Or do you think, you know, there are going to be more like him in college football?
I think there will be more like him in college football. I think they're probably waiting to see whether or not there's even a season. I think some of these guys look at it like, why announce that and have, you know, maybe NFL teams question your commitment to your university or get negative feedback if 2 weeks from now they cancel the college football season anyway. So, but I think there are more guys that are thinking about it and they're waiting to see if the season happens or if it's canceled. You know, it's been trending in this direction. Christian McCaffrey skipped the bowl game. You know, Nick Bosa essentially skipped the second half of his last year at Ohio State after he had that injury. He could have come back from that. He chose not to. This is kind of the next step, and it feels like NFL players opting out combined with, you know, being able to say I'm concerned about COVID allows guys to do what Caleb Farley did without really getting a lot of flack for it. When really they probably didn't even want to take the injury risk this season anyway. You know, they probably were already concerned about playing football this year and the impact that might have on their draft status.
And I'd ask you, in his instance with his mom dying of breast cancer, though, and I just want, would an NFL team question his commitment level when you've got mom as sort of the, you know, one of the concerns and what she went through? Would they still do it though, Ross? It is a business. Would they question his commitment level?
So first of all, I didn't know that. But second of all, I think some people would make comments like that.
Some still would.
But guess what? Ultimately, does it really matter? I mean, Nick Bosa was the number 2 overall pick. Christian McCaffrey was the 8th pick. I mean, you'll always hear some anonymous scouts or anonymous executives or some people that'll say, man, he let that team down or he did this.
It'd be anonymous.
But then when it comes to actually pick, they don't hold it against them.
Right.
You know,
right. That
stuff they say, but they know it's a business. Look, and they know, even forget the mom part of it, they know he probably just doesn't want to risk getting hurt this year or getting sick and the impact they could have. And guess what? They can say whatever they want. But they know deep down, if it was their son, they'd probably have him do the same thing.
Last night, there was some controversy on NFL Twitter as the NFL's top 100 is rolling out. These rankings are voted on by the players. And, of course, it's just one of those things, right? It's just something to sort of keep you busy during the offseason. But Lamar Jackson was voted number 1. Patrick Mahomes was voted number 4, which is the same ranking he had in 2019. Does this make any sense to you, Ross, that players believe Lamar Jackson is a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes, given everything Patrick accomplished last season?
Well, the first thing I would mention is that list is garbage. It's garbage every year. You know, I feel like if I want to get ahead in life, in the media, or my podcast business, or at Ross Tucker NFL social media. You know, we've gotten to the point now where there's a couple different things you can do. You can come up with a totally bogus list and get a lot of attention that way, or you can just say things on TV or the radio that you don't really mean and get people going, get people's blood boiling. You know, I mean, I could go down on Memphis radio and just say Alabama's overrated, they always have been, and then, you know, for the next 12 hours, Alabama Twitter, who is this guy? You know, just, I mean, there's things you can do to get your name out there and you get attention for things, and it's highly disappointing. I'll put it in the category of how we started this interview, which is, you know, the people that skew negative. I'd almost rather you skew negative than just make things up you don't even believe. As for the list, that's not what they're doing, but the methodology is flawed. I think that they asked a lot of those guys, you know, to do those rankings at the end of the season. And if you remember at the end of the season, there was only two people in the conversation for the MVP. It was Russell Wilson and it was Lamar Jackson. You know, Mahomes got hurt, missed several games, et cetera. So at the time, you know, when you get this piece of paper to fill out and they tell you to write your 15 best players, you know, and you're thinking, oh man, Lamar Jackson is easily the MVP. You put him first on the list. Like, I get it. I mean, doesn't bother me. There's not a team in the NFL that would take Lamar Jackson over Patrick Mahomes. I don't care what they say, but I understand that that's why he's ranked ahead of them on this meaningless list.
On Mahomes, he signed obviously a historic contract, 10 years, $500 million. By the time, and obviously that does set the market, but by the time that this contract is close to being fulfilled, will we look at this as, oh my God, what a deal for the Chiefs?
Probably, but if we do, that will mean that they never cut him, which will mean that he got $477 million over 12 years, and he'll have gotten $45 million a year when the other highest guy at his position is currently $35 million a year. Now, by the time we get there, you know, guys will leapfrog him in that regard. But he's getting it now. He's getting it now when the virus is going to make the cap only $175 million next year. So I don't have any problem with it. It allows the team to be able to plan around what his salary cap number is. If you really look at it, they got to guarantee his money like 2 years out each year, or else they got to give him a big buyout. I mean, it's a pretty good deal. It's like, you know, in 2022, they got to guarantee his 2024 salary, or else they got to cut him and give him like an $80 million buyout. Like, you really dive into that. I thought he actually did fine.
How's the AFC South look to you, Ross, if you were handicapping it right now? Is that the Titans division to take now with Hopkins gone? Do you still believe in Deshaun Watson even without DeAndre Hopkins? Are you looking at the Colts with Rivers and saying they look like maybe a division winner? What do you think about the South?
Yeah, so, I mean, the only team in my mind that's clearly out of it is the Jaguars. Those other three, I mean, you could put them in a hat and pop them out. I guess I'm intrigued by the idea of Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. You know, they added DeForest Buckner as well. And I love their offensive line. Might be my number one ranked offensive line. So I kind of like the Colts. And part of that, too, is just one of those deals where it's hard to stay on top. It's hard to do what the Titans did last year. It's hard to do what the Texans did last year. They both won playoff games. It's hard to do that again the next year. So I kind of like the Colts because last year was a down year. Just seems like that's the way it works, right? Where the team that has a down year bounces back the next year, and the teams that, you know, were flying high maybe take a step back.
So you like, you think Rivers has got plenty more in that tank?
Yeah, I think he'll do well. I think Frank Reich knows how to use him. Mm-hmm. I think this will be the best offensive line he's had maybe ever, but certainly in a long time. I think they'll run it well. I think playing indoors will help. I just think there's a lot in his favor.
Yeah, that could be a sneaky good team.
Yep. Hey, Ross, man, this was great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, man.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
Yep. He is Radio.com Sports Insider, Ross Tucker, Insider Calls, brought to you by Pennzoil Motor Oils, made from natural gas. The proof is in the Pennzoil.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.